just two minutes past afternoon. Good afternoon, everybody. Yeah, I'm fine. I always get confused when I preach in the morning service, I start by saying good morning at my first service. By the time I'm started on the second one, I got to say good afternoon. So I'm always trying to gauge where we are, really. But it's great to be here with you. And I thoroughly enjoy coming to Word of Grace Church. We want to say thank you so much. Thank Colin and Navas for giving us the opportunity to serve you guys. It's such a joy to come. I almost feel like I'm just shifted home for a while, kind of a thing, staying somewhere else for a short break. But it's so good. Okay, this morning I'm going to speak from the book of Nehemiah. Okay. Everybody knows the story of Nehemiah. I must say I enjoyed teaching you guys at the what do you call it, really? Okay. And it was great fun to be there, such an excited bunch. It's always good to have an enthusiastic bunch. You feel like teaching, isn't it? So thank God for you. But let's just pray that God would be with us so that he would encourage us and help us in God. Father, we thank you so much for your presence. Truly your presence is heaven to me, heaven to all of us here. I pray, Spirit of God, will you please lead as I speak? I thank you that you're the God who leads us, guides us. And Spirit of God, you are our great teacher. Be with us, Lord. I pray that everything that I say would edify our people, would sharpen them and draw them closer to you. Pray, encourage them. I pray, help me to communicate through the power of your Holy Spirit. And I pray that they would hear what you want them to hear. Be with us in a very powerful way this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, God does miracles when you pray for people. God does miracles when you speak through the word as well. And I always love that. So, you know, sometimes people love the worship time. They love the songs. Some don't like the talk kind of a thing. I'll tell you, every part of our service is powerful because God is in it. And I tell you, if you can just believe God, God will do something for you today. And the word of God is powerful. Amen? It changes lives. I tell you, sometimes when I hear testimonies of what has happened, even through preaching, I just get so excited about it. It just gets so exciting to hear stories of how people are getting blessed through the word. And I was in Kerala once, and I was speaking on God's amazing provision. And I didn't know in the congregation there was one lady who was just kicked out of a place because they wanted a higher rent. So she came for this meeting, and we don't know what's happening. It was a fairly large church. We're just preaching out there. And I said, you know what? If you believe God today, God will do a miracle in your life. And I prayed a prayer, and this lady comes running to me after the meeting, and as usual, I thought she was praying in tongues. She was speaking in Malayali. So she started, she was speaking, and she's trying to explain to me. And you know, I can't even understand Hindi properly, forget Malayalam. And I thought, wow, she's really excited, but what happened? I can't understand a word. So then I said to the guy, I said, you know what, I think God has done something, but honestly, I can't get a word of what she's saying. So can you explain to me what happened? So this guy said, you know, you were praying that God would do a miracle and fear would get out, provision would come. He says, as you prayed that prayer, her phone rang, and apparently it was the landlord who was kicking her out. Suddenly changed his mind and said, you can stay. Can you believe that? There is such power when people come together and when you hear God's message from God's people. Amen. So never take it lightly. Just believe God. Things happen when we speak. Things happen when we speak. Things even happen when you say hello to one another. That's our God. So this morning I want to quickly go to Nehemiah. You know, I'm going to speak a little bit of how you can deal with discouragement. Any of you go through discouragement anytime? Yeah? Praise God, we are in the same. we all go through it sometimes. Okay, but I want you to know you're not called to live discouraged all your life. We are called to rise up and do what God has called us to do. And if you give in to Satan's tricks, you can live like that for the rest of your life, and many Christians are living like that. You know, Satan has found, he says, you know, even adultery is a failure in the kingdom. He said, not too many guys are falling into it. He said, but discouragement, I can even get the men of God into it. And we all get trapped into it. So I want to look at it and say, how can we get out of it? And I'm going to look at the life of Nehemiah. You know, whenever you have a dream from God, you know what's the first thing you hit? More than often, you know, we think, God said, go and plant the church. So I went 17 years back. I left my city, went into the city. I said, God said he would build his church. I came and I thought, I'm going to shake the city of Panjim. For 5 years, nothing happened. The thing that hits you first is problems, not the promise getting fulfilled. Everybody thinks, no, once God has promised it, it happens immediately. You know the story of Joseph? Yeah, it says it's probably 13 years maybe, the process that he went through before he actually became the prince of Egypt or the governor of Egypt. So everybody who's got a dream, you will go through a process. Even if you want to start a business, you know, somebody put this very nicely. He said the first thing that happens when you want to do anything in life is the first thing you become very excited. Have you noticed when you come with a new idea in church, everybody says, yeah, let's go for it. The second thing that happens is you face discouragement. Suddenly next day, nobody is coming. Nothing is happening. The third thing that happens is there's a need to find somebody to blame in all of this. The fourth thing that happens is the innocent guy gets punished. And the fifth thing that happens is the wrong people get appreciated. This happens in every place of life. And you may say, not in our church. If it's not yet happened, it will happen. So we all fall into this trip of getting into trouble. But today I want to help us how we can get out of it. You know, Nehemiah heard from two of his guys. He says that the wall of Jerusalem is in bad shape, is in a disgraceful state. And so he says, you know what? Nehemiah thinks about it and he says, he actually gets the burden of a vision to think, I got to do something about it. So in right the first chapter of Nehemiah, you find that this message has come to Nehemiah. Nehemiah is already now burdened with this thing. He says, I've got to do something about it. So what Nehemiah does, he's made a huge plan of how he's going to build the wall of Jerusalem. Now, the wall of Jerusalem was not just a wall. It was a kind of a protection for the city, but it was also a sense of identity. And so, when they destroy a wall, it means actually, I'm destroying your identity as well. I'm bringing disgrace to you guys. So when Nehemiah heard this, he gets this burden, and he says, I'm going to do something. Now, I don't want to go through the whole story, but it says, under his leadership, the wall was built in how many days? Anybody knows? Yeah. In 52 days, they say it's kind of quite a miracle pace to build that wall. But they do it. Now, I want you to know that maybe God has given you a dream in life and you want to do something for God. Most of us think that if God has told you to do something, that everything is going to go on smoothly. I'll tell you something. This is good news as well as bad news. That every man of God or anybody who's actually made it big has not made it because he's not faced problems. He's made it because he's persevered through them. Do you believe that, church? Yeah? Okay, sometimes we look at great leaders and we think that they've got there without great opposition. But the thing is, everybody goes through a struggle. And I was thinking, I said, when I thought we were planting church in the city, I thought, my goodness, this is tougher than I thought. So it is tough. Now, I want you to read these two passages and get a few things that we can ask God to help us with as we sometimes go through discouragement. If you can turn your Bibles to Nehemiah 2, please. Okay, I'll read from 17 to 20. It says here, "Then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." Now he's got this great idea, this great vision, and he wants to go for it. He's envisioning the others. "I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. They replied, let us start rebuilding so that we..." And so they began to do this good work. "But when Sambalat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. 'What is this you are doing?' they asked. 'Are you rebelling against the king?' I answered them by saying, 'The God of heaven will give us success. We are his servants. We will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right on it.'" What did he say to them? "The God of heaven will give us success." You want to say that a little bit nice and loud? "The God of heaven will give us success." But it's not finished. You go to chapter 4 and read what happens there. They are not giving up on these guys by saying, okay, now you can build the wall. It says, "When Sambalat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria. And he said, 'What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?' Tobiah the Ammonite, who was with him, who was at his side, said, 'What they are building, even a fox climbing on it would break it down, and their wall of stones.'" Okay, so here you see that these guys are with a big vision come there. And you find people coming and having fun at their cost and saying, even if one doggy walks on that wall, it's going to come down. You know, in Goa, they would have said dogs. They said foxes because they had probably more foxes there. But I think this is what they go through. So I want you to record a few things that how discouragement comes in. Okay, just look at the passage and we'll get a few ideas. First of all, it comes through words that people say to us. If you notice these guys, they're treating them like dirt. They're saying even a fox goes on that wall, it will break down. Has anybody said to you, you're trying to build the church, you know, who's going to come there really? Who's going to listen to the stuff that you are speaking about? You know, when I became a Christian, which was probably 30 years back, I met some guys who were in college with me, and they thought, this guy's gone weird, he's gone off his head. And they came and said to me, you know what, this is a phase you're going through. You won't last more than 5 years in this. I wish I want to meet them again now. To tell them, this is my 30th year, I'm as passionate about Jesus as I was before. Amen? We're not going to give up on that. God came into our lives and He's taking us on. And you don't need to give up. Sometimes when you're starting a new venture, you will find the closest people coming to you and saying, what rubbish are you trying to do? You'll never manage that. You start a business saying, who's going to come to your shop? But I'll tell you something, if you can keep your eyes fixed on God and move forward, nothing is impossible with God. Get that into your system. The second thing you find about these guys is when words don't work, by the way, words are the most discouraging thing, okay? Never, even, I think we've been doing this in the morning seminar, we're trying to tell people, even with your children, don't use negative words. Don't put them down, saying you're useless, you'll never study, you're this, you're that. We try to run down kids. They will become what you say they are. So don't do that. It is very important to just lift people up with the words that we say. Somebody is doing something, say, I'm praying for you. I'll be right with you. Of course, it's right to caution if they're doing something silly. But always have a positive attitude. You know? So believe God that God can do something good. The second thing you notice in that passage is when words don't work, they start using physical threats. I don't know if you as a Christian have ever faced physical threats. I've faced at least 4 to 5 times. God is God. If you allow Him to be God and persevere with whatever you're going through, you are going to get on the other side. We will see the victory. Please don't give up. That's the message I feel God has given me. I've been, you know, just saying this to many churches in our own city, really, saying, guys, there are too many Christians giving up too quickly these days. Oh, life is getting too hard. I can't go. You find people, why didn't you come to church? My tire got punctured. I thought, oh my God, I'm glad your leg didn't get punctured. Don't make excuses. Go for God. If God had made a promise to you, get hold of it and see it through. Somebody said, if there's a wall in front of you, climb it. If you can't climb it, make a hole through it. Get through. That's how Christians persevere. I can't. Nothing is happening. Doesn't work. Hello. Even people who don't know God work like that. How much more Christians have to rise up and say, I'm determined to get where God has called me to go. Amen. So please don't be discouraged. Let's move on. Okay. Then another big one. Okay, sorry, I missed a verse there. It says in verse 11 of Nehemiah 4, it says, first of all, they plotted together and they wanted to fight with these guys. And then they said, also our enemy said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and we will kill them and put an end to this work. Such threats there is to go through. Did the wall stop? No way. No way. Sometimes discouragement will come from your own people. I don't know whether you face that. You know, we face that all the time. You know, you get this brilliant idea and you say, you know what? I want to get 1,000 people to the next concert we're going to put up. And then you'll see one of our own guys, we've never seen that happen. Do you think it's going to happen now? You feel like saying, at least keep quiet, you'll do God a favor. But we are so discouraging at times. Church, when we come together, speak words of faith to one another that we will make it. We will see this city transformed for God. You know, I'll tell you something. If you have a vision, however slow it may be moving, it's going to come to pass. Amen? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You know, I said to the church, when we were 10 people, I said to the guys, I said, I'm going to reach to 1,000 people in this city. Would you believe that? And they used to smile at me. I said, you can smile. I believe that. And I knew, but you know, bless God, there were few who did believe what I said. Now, we've not reached 1,000 people, but we still do 3 services on a Sunday out there. Our reach is going further and further. And I believe that dream God gave me, we're going to get there. We're not going to stop with discouragement. You think we don't face discouragement? We got a 3rd service. We've just launched it sometimes back. And sometimes I think, oh God, I'm going to be preaching to myself today. And you know, our morning services are quite full. So you feel pumped up at the morning service and you come in the evening and you think, oh my goodness, what am I going to do here? But if you can trust God, God will be with us. The next thing that they do is they send intimidating letters. Now, if they don't manage with anything, they'll at least send you an SMS saying, you know, you're lousy, you won't manage to do that. Today, they don't send letters. They send WhatsApp messages. Okay? But please don't give up, church. We have great things in store. Now, I just want to make a little bit of a differentiation between discouragement and disappointment. You know, disappointment you cannot control. Colin was saying somebody died today. That is disappointment. We can't do anything about it. You just got to hold it rightly before God and encourage yourself. But discouragement is a matter of choice. You can choose to be discouraged, or you can choose to move on. And so I would encourage you, never choose to be discouraged, because discouragement comes to all of us all the time. Sometimes I get up in the morning thinking, how can I run this whole thing? I was just telling these guys, I said, please pray. I got a budgets meeting when I go back. You know, that's one thing that scares me, numbers. And every year the budgets keep soaring higher and higher because the work keeps increasing. And you think, God, how am I going to get through this? You've got to trust God at the end. There's no other way. Okay, so I want to quickly get through how people get discouraged. Many times, as I said, it is the words that are spoken over our lives. Please be careful that we handle things. If they're negative words, shut your ears and trust God. But sometimes when exhaustion comes in, we face huge discouragement. You know, I think it was Elijah who was so exhausted, and then he was discouraged. He was the guy who ran away from, he could bring down fire, and then one woman frightened him. Because there are times we're up, where times we're down. If you don't refresh yourself in the presence of God, you're going to have a hard time sometimes. You know, David faced a lot of difficulty in his life. How did David get back his strength? Anyone can tell me? The Bible says he found strength in God. You know, please, church, let's not get discouraged. Go and find your strength in God. Whether your business has failed, your child is sick, things are happening which are not very encouraging in your life today, it can change tomorrow. You know, every dark tunnel, there is light on the other side. You've got to just pass through it. You know, somebody said a very nice saying. He said, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. We don't give in. We don't give in to that stuff. The third thing, exhaustion is one thing. Please be careful that we don't get overexhausted, because I know people, even with their whole love for God, get really burnt out sometimes and can never take on what God has for them. Sometimes we get overwhelmed with the work. I don't know about you, but for me, I get up many times in the morning thinking, how am I going to run this day? You know, you think housewives have an easy time. They got a full-time job, isn't it? You who have children who are 5 and below, I salute you. God bless you, give you grace, really. Because you always think, how am I going to get through this day? I got to go to church meetings. I've got my kids who are sick. Then there's a job to attend to. And everything comes like pressure on us. And if you're not careful, by the end of the day, you sing, I'm done with this. I'm too exhausted to take it on. You know, when I was a little bit younger, I got married at 25. And by the time I was 26 or 26 and a half, I think, we had our first baby girl, Kimberly. And I thought, I have no experience whatsoever. I came from a totally wild background, irresponsible to the core. And then suddenly you become a father. I thought, man, this is a shock. So hey, some get excited about it. I was shocked about it. And then I'm thinking, oh my dear, how to get on with this? Before I knew, 4 years later, the next kid comes. I just thought I got expert at this one. The next one's come. And then you're getting used to it. Suddenly you realize you've got to take them to school. You become the official chauffeur. Go in and out, bring them. And I thought, church work is increasing. By the time I knew it, I thought I'm going to crash down with all of this thing. But you know what? There's one strange thing about me which helped me through. I'm a worshiper. I run into the presence of God when I can't handle things. And I don't come out. Even my guys in the office know that. He says, I think Wally is going through a tough time. He's with his door shut for a long time. He's not coming out. He's not showing his face to anybody. Because I enjoy God there. That's where my strength comes from. So whatever you may be going through, let's find our strength with God. You know, the third thing that is a powerful thing is when these guys were going through difficulty, I want to quickly rush because we're going out of time. I want to go through how can you get out of this, okay? First of all, please go back to God if you're feeling down today. Get right into the presence of God. Throw yourselves into the arms of a loving God. He will refresh you. Amen? David found strength in God. You can find strength in God. Sing songs that will lift you up. Pray prayers that will lift you up. It's so good to see you guys praying for all the day-to-day situations in life here or what's happening in the world. I'll tell you something, Nehemiah was a man of prayer. He would just go every time he had a situation, every time these guys would come and discourage them, he would go in the presence of God. If you look at the verses that I'm quoting, you can just write them down. Nehemiah 4, 4 to 5, 4 verse 9, 6 verse 9. He says, in response to their threats, he just goes into the presence of God. You know, I don't know if what you would have said if people said, what you're doing will never last. This is all kind of rubbish kind of a thing. Nehemiah just answered them with one line, the God of heaven will give us success. Amen. So be that kind of people who would say, I know my trust is in God. He will take me through. Secondly, don't stop doing what you're called to do. When people are discouraged, we stop praying. We stop reading our Bibles. And in some of us even stop our jobs that we are doing. Have you noticed? You know, people resign from their jobs when they are down. I'll tell you, that's the worst thing to do. You never make decisions when you're discouraged. You just press on with what you have to do. And if you notice these guys, they just get on with the work. People are saying things, they're threatening. These guys are on building the wall. Church, you may not be building walls today, but we are building the walls of the city. We are building the lives of people here. We are transforming lives with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. They armed themselves, okay? Firstly, go to God. Don't stop doing what you're called to do. They armed their people. If you notice the verses there in Nehemiah, it says they... 4 verse 13, saying, By night, I went out through the valley gate towards the Jekyll well and the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem. 4:13, I think. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. Okay, basically, he's saying never put your armor down. Never put your weapons down. Because if the devil comes, you got to have your armor on. You know, Ephesians 6, 10 to 13, what does that say? It says, put on the armor of God. So church, it is very strange, but if you notice how they were building the wall, I don't know how they did that. They're carrying things, but the sword is in hand. They're not going to take a break. You know how people, I don't know about Pune guys, but in Goa, when there's war even, we want to take siesta. They're not bothered. They say, let the war happen. I need to have my 3 to 4 break and then I'll come. But then we're all half dead. Can't afford to do that. Be alert, be sharp. Encourage one another. You know, in their battle, they had to push people to say, you know, guys, let's work together on this thing. Encourage one another. I don't know when, you know, when I talked about exhaustion, if you notice, when you reach half the way of your work or any project that you do, that's the time you normally feel down. For us guys, this is our halftime. We've just finished half our journey in ministry. The next half is yet to start. And we got to be so careful that we don't get discouraged, but move on, really. And the last one I want to encourage you, church, is please stay united together. And this, you'd think, would be the easiest one for the Church of Jesus Christ. But I think my observation is this is the toughest one for the Church of Jesus Christ. You know, somebody said this. He said, if you put two Christians on an island, in the first month they'll have fellowship in one church. In the next month, there'll be two churches, even if there are two people. Because Christians find it hard to live together. Church, if we don't learn to live one with another, it is a bad testimony, and it actually allows Satan to come into the work that we are doing. You know, the Bible doesn't say you will know they are Christians by the miracles that they see, by the prophetic words that they bring on the Sunday, and how many people get saved through their services. What does the Bible say? Ah, you got it. You will know they are Christians by their love one for another. And I would say, church, let's do everything to guard the unity of the Spirit. Let's be one with each other. Let's fight our battles together. We need to stand up with each other. You know, let's not be discouraged. Somebody put it very nicely. He says, don't give up, don't shut up, don't back up till you are taken up. There's no time for that. We just got to keep moving, keep moving. Be watchful, be prayerful. Keep encouraging one another. Hebrews 12, verse 3. It says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You know, church, we all go through challenges, but I want to really encourage you. Let's not give up.